We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year 2363. And we had seen that the Jews had been victorious in the war where the Egyptians and Jews started the war together, and then the Egyptians retreated to let the Jews fend for themselves, and mysteriously the Jews succeeded. Suddenly they realized they were ditched by the Egyptians. They started killing Egyptians, and that's when the Egyptians started realizing that these Jews are a threat. And then they decided they're going to get the Jews to build these cities, Pitom and Ramses. If they'll fortify those cities, so then we'll convince them, and slowly, slowly, we'll turn them into our slaves. And that's what they did. And now we're up to the year 2363. It's been 125 years since we descended to Egypt. And the elders of Egypt, the wise men, come before Pharaoh and they tell him, we did what you told us. And we had hoped that if we make them work hard, that'll wear them down. The exact opposite is happening. They're having more children. They're flourishing. So you got to give us a plan with your wisdom how we can minimize these Jews. So the king said, okay, let's think it through together. They had a eunuch there. His name was Eov, from Aram Naharaim, from the land of Utz. You've heard of Eov. And he said, if you like the idea, I suggest, put out a decree that any male that's born to the Jews will be killed, and then we won't have a threat that the Jews will wage war. So Pharaoh was concerned to do such a decree. Instead, he called the midwives and said, look, if you see Jewish boys born, kill them on the birthing stone and just say it was a miscarriage. Yes?
I was always wondering, did they really only have two midwives in the entire country?
They were the head midwives, you're right.
They had workers working under them?
Correct. Yeah.
So he rejected the notion that the babies and male babies should be killed directly, but indirectly suggested that they should be made look very nice.
Correct. A year passes, there's a Jew in Egypt from the tribe of Levi. His name is Amram, the son of Kehas, the son of Levi. And he marries Yocheved. So she's 126 years old. She gets pregnant, she has a daughter, and she names that daughter Miriam. Why? Because at that time life was bitter. Miriam comes from the word maror, bitter. We saw the Jews even called the Egyptian king Maror. They gave him that name. His name was Malol, and they called him Maror. So she got pregnant. She had this daughter, called her Maror. She got pregnant again. She had a son named Aharon. And why was he called Aharon? At that time, Pharaoh started killing the male children of Israel. I'm not sure what he's learning is the meaning of the word Aharon.
Like Aharon.
What?
Instead of a head, like a head, like Aharon.
Maybe, I don't think so. Aharon, I think it comes from the word herayon, pregnancy. And it means Aharon, the lack of pregnancy. They felt there was no more future. I think that's how he's learning. Aharon is 3 years older than Moshe. So we know this because the Pasuk says that Moshe was 80 when they stood before Pharaoh, and Aharon was 83.
Miriam,
it doesn't say clearly. He learns that Miriam was 1 year older than Aharon. Yes.
If Eov is in this story, I thought there was an opinion that Eov was all like a midrash.
There are a few opinions in Talmud. He's going with this opinion. One opinion is he's in the days of Moshe. One opinion is he's in the days of Avram. One opinion is he's in the days of the judges. And one opinion is it didn't happen. It's a story about a concept, but it didn't really happen. Okay, so Aharon is 40 years old Aaron is going to be 83, I'm sorry, when we stand before Pharaoh. Aaron was a prophet in Egypt. The Midrash says 80 years. That means that he started being a prophet when he was a little kid, 3 years old. Because he was 83 when they left Egypt. So we have... Yes?
What does a three-year-old do to merit prophecy?
That's a good question. But we see that Avram Avinu was also super genius. At 3 years old, he was talking and prophesying. And Batya, Aaron's sister, was 4 or 5.
I think that just strengthens the question.
I agree that two questions don't create an answer, but sometimes the Talmud tells us that in the days of Tanakh, children would mature much younger. The Talmud says, running through King David's time, children would mature at a much younger age. How far we take that, whether three is literally three, is a good question. I don't know. You have super geniuses. I've seen geniuses who, at a very young age, knew a lot. I know someone who, at the age of 20, finished all his PhDs as a doctor, and he was already on the floor. Top doctor. Yeah, there are big people. I'm saying, yeah, don't forget, it's one in a million. You have 30 million Jews. These are a few select people. And they come from a highly intelligent family. They have the genes for it. There are very smart people, whether 3 is literally 3, but 15 isn't the question. Saying, yeah?
What other types of questions could we ask ourselves in relation to what you just said?
I didn't follow that.
No, I'm asking a throwing the question back to... So to say, you're reading a text, right? And I'm trying to learn to ask better questions. How do you ask questions if you are asking them to this passage?
Well, I would ask whether we're supposed to take this literally. Does it literally mean he was 3 years old when he started having prophecy? And here I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We see about Avram Avinu, there are two opinions in the Talmud. Whether Avram was 52 when he finally came to the realization that monotheism is the way to go, or whether he was 3 years old. We grow up with the Midrash that he was 3. The Meiri writes he was a child prodigy. Fine, I can hear that things like that exist. There are, every so often, extraordinary prodigies in the world. But the question is, over here, is that the approach we're supposed to take? And I don't know the answer to that. Yeah?
When he was 3 years old, that's when Moshe was born.
Right. Right, very good, correct. Tov.